Welcome to Journey of the Monkey King. I'm Quiva, and I'm joined by my friend MJ.
Hello!
This episode is going to have a content warning for violence and also for alcohol consumption. I'll put more details in the episode notes. We're starting into Chapter 5 of Journey to the West. In the previous chapter, the Stone Monkey, Sun Wukong, the Monkey King, received two new titles, Ban Horse Plague and the Great Sage Equal to Heaven. He was given the latter as an empty title to make him feel important after he found the other one insulting. But to directly quote the opening of this chapter, the Great Sage, after all, was a monkey monster. In truth, he had no knowledge of his title or rank, nor did he care about the size of his salary. He did nothing but place his name on the register.
There was a register? There's a register of great monkey sages?
I think it just kind of means the kind of heavens, like, register of jobs, basically. He has an official appointment within the hierarchy of heaven now.
So he's just clocking in, clocking out, basically.
Yeah, and having no actual job to do and having his needs taken care of by officials day and night, he is free to tour the Heavenly Palace and makes friends. And he makes many, many new friends. Among them are the 9 Luminaries, the 3 Generals of the 5 Quarters, the 28 Constellations, the 4 Devarajas, the 12 Horary Branches, the 5 Elders of the 5 Regions, the Star Spirits of the entire Heaven, and the numerous Gods of the Milky Way. So,
okay, so popular guy.
He's becoming a pretty popular guy. And one morning, the Taoist immortal Zhu Jingyang brought some concerns to the Jade Emperor. He's worried that Wukong is making too many new friends, and he's a bit too idle, and maybe this could lead to some trouble in itself.
Yeah, because he's a charismatic guy who has a problem with authority, man, and I can see how this could cause some trouble.
You don't want him networking too much. So he suggests the Great Sage be given some actual work to do. The Jade Emperor agrees, and he gives Wukong the job of managing the Garden of Immortal Peaches. Wukong bows deeply and grunts his gratitude before going immediately to inspect the garden. Grunts his gratitude is a quote.
Yeah, is that sarcastic? Is it, you know, or...
I don't know. I feel like it's not sarcasm so much as just him being really informal about it. I'm not sure. Not sure what that's exactly meant to convey.
I'm glad the Jade Emperor did pick up on the second part of how you deal with a narcissist and or sociopath in your organization, which is just make sure they're busy doing something that seems important. The busy part is gotta keep them out of trouble.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have to actually do anything because the garden is actually tended by the Queen Mother of the Jade Pool. But he gets a big tour of the place and the local spirits of the garden show him around. He's told there are 3,600 trees in total in the garden. The first 1,200 trees near the front have the smallest fruit and they ripen once every 3,000 years. And one by them will grant enlightenment and good health.
Okay, so he's just supporting the enlightenment.
Well, he's just in charge of keeping it. He's not meant to eat it all.
Well, I'm imagining that he is going to eat it all, though. I feel like this is fate.
You might be onto something.
Okay, yeah, it's on brand.
Yeah.
I just feel like another very important part of that, give them a job that seems important and keep them busy enough to keep out of trouble, is make sure the job isn't too actually important where they could cause more trouble. And I kind of feel like putting the guy known to be pretty entitled and self-serving in charge of the enlightenment peaches is not a move I would have made.
No, it does seem to pay off for them in the short run, but I am getting a bit of ahead of myself again, so I'll just keep reading the Peach exposition. The middle 1200 ripen once every 6,000 years, and if one eats them, they will ascend to heaven with the mist and never grow old. So they make you immortal.
Well, he's already got that. Does he want to be triple immortal?
He might do.
Oh my god.
The trees at the back of the largest peaches, they ripen once every 9,000 years, and if eaten, they will make one's age equal to that of heaven and earth, the sun and the moon. So they make you really immortal, I guess.
So there's you can be you can be really wise, immortal, or super immortal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, did the big peepers stop you from being killed or something? Is there any, or is it just like you're just extra immortal?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe you get all the knowledge that was around in the beginning times. Or could be. I don't know. I my own immortality is very much a work in progress. So,
but Monkey makes his own inspection of the garden. But after that, he doesn't really have much to do. The garden is actually tended by the Queen Mother of the Jade Pool, who is, according to the footnotes, the highest goddess of religious Taoism.
Oh, interesting.
But even though he doesn't have much work to actually do, Wukong from then on does spend a lot more time relaxing in the garden and enjoying the scenery instead of traveling and making friends like he was before.
He just wants to chill.
Yeah.
I can respect that.
So one day, Wukong saw that the peaches on the older trees were starting to ripen, and he really wanted to taste them.
Of course.
But he's always followed really closely by the local spirits of the garden, as well as his own entourage. So they do have people keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay, so some measures were put in place.
But he has a little bit of a plan, and he just... It's not okay. Plan is a bit of an extravagant word. He asks them to leave him alone so he can take a nap.
Fair.
And once they do, he starts climbing the trees and just starts eating peaches until he's had his fill.
Doesn't even just stop. He doesn't stop at one.
No.
He eats all of them.
He pulls the same trick a few days later. So Wukong is now triple immortal. And even more than that, because you only need to eat one of those peaches to make you immortal, so...
Oh, he's... he's, what, like, quadruple, quintuple, amazeballs immortal?
Yeah, despite this, no one notices for a while, and things carry on okay for Wukong. Until, eventually, the Grand Festival of Immortal Peaches was coming up, and the Lady Queen Mother decided to hold a grand banquet for it.
Were there peaches served at this grand banquet?
Peaches will be served at this banquet, surprisingly.
He didn't want to eat the enlightenment peaches, I notice. He doesn't want the wisdom.
Well, I think enlightenment is kind of part of immortality anyway. You have to have some degree of enlightenment to become immortal, so I think the bigger peaches grant you that too.
Oh, okay. So it's like a package.
Yeah. So the Lady Queen Mother sends her 7 immortal maidens, red gown, blue gown, white gown, black gown, purple gown, yellow gown, and green gown, to go pick peaches for the festival. They find the garden spirits and officials from the Equal to Heaven residence waiting outside the gate of the garden. They've stepped outside because their boss is napping. The maidens say
Monkey wants a nap undisturbed, that's fair.
Yeah, definitely just napping, not eating peaches. The maidens say they can't be delayed, so the garden spirits open the gate and say they all go in together. But they can't find Wukong inside because after eating his fill of peaches, he shrunk himself down to 2 inches high and took an actual nap inside the branches of one of the trees. The maidens are worried about... Oh, sorry.
I'm just saying, like, I kind of hate this guy, but it is quite cute. I just want to be napping.
Yeah, eating peaches and napping, it's a good way to be.
Good life. It's good life. It doesn't need to be immortal peaches. It doesn't even need to be fresh peaches. I really want canned peaches right now.
The maidens are worried about picking anything without asking Sun Wukong first, but also don't want to return empty-handed. One of the officials says not to worry about it. Our great sage has a habit of wandering off. He's probably just gone to meet his friends, pick peaches, and we'll report it for you later.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, even his officials don't give a shit.
It's just, yeah, I mean, can you imagine this person being your boss?
He doesn't do anything. He just hangs around the garden. He's probably just wandered off. It's fine. They start filling up their baskets from the front and middle trees, but when they make their way to the back trees, they realize there's hardly any fruit left there at all. And what's left there isn't ripe yet.
Oh.
They find one single ripe peach, half white and half red.
Oh dear.
The blue gown maiden pulls the branch down to let the red gown maiden take the fruit, but that branch was the one Wukong was actually napping on, so when they let go, it snaps back up and shoots him off.
Well, I mean, he's like quadruple, quintuple, no take back, he's immortal now, so...
Yeah,
he ain't gonna be hurt.
He's fine, it just wakes him up, and he thinks, okay. he thinks he's being robbed and he's not happy. He returns to full size and pulls the iron rod out from behind his ear and threatens them.
How dare you take your property?
Yeah, they explain they're gathering peaches for the Queen Mother's festival, and he quickly calms down. He's happy to hear about that banquet, and then he asks, who's invited?
Oh, no.
They tell him the guest list from the last festival. The Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, the holy monks, and the Arhats of the Western Heaven, Kuan Yin from the South Pole, the Holy Emperor of Great Mercy of the East, the Immortals of the Ten Continents and Three Islands, the Dark Spirit of the North Pole, the Great Immortal of Yellowhorn from the Imperial Center, the Star Spirits of the Five Poles, the Three Pure Ones, the Four David Kings, the Heavenly Dave of the Great Monad, the Jade Emperor, the Nine Heroes, the Immortals of the Seas and Mountains, the Pope of Darkness, and the Terrestrial Immortals.
The two that jumped out at me there was the Heavenly Dave?
The Heavenly Deva.
Oh, right, okay. I was just saying, the Heavenly Dave? and the Pope of Darkness? Is that the literal translation?
I'm not sure what the translation was. He was mentioned in the third chapter as well.
Oh, yes, of course.
He was the Bodhisattva who vowed to not attain Buddhahood until purgatories were emptied.
Ah, yes, fair.
So I'm not sure about the translation as Pope of Darkness. I find it kind of funny as well, but...
It is quite cool, but yeah.
So, but Wukong laughs and he asks, am I invited?
Oh, no.
They say, we haven't heard your name mentioned. And he says, I am the great sage, equal to heaven. Why shouldn't I, old monkey, be made an honored guest at the party?
It does seem like they're offering invitations to literally all the immortals of the Ten Continents. And he is now the most immortal of any of them. So... It does seem like a kind of a, you gotta invite this guy and find someone who owes you a favor to go, look, he's gotta have some personal project he's working on, just get him talking about that for like 10 minutes. he's gonna be starting a podcast or something.
Oh, what an asshole. Oh, I bet he's gonna just like start some fucking snotty podcast about fucking ancient literature or something.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Well, 400 years old isn't really ancient, but whatever.
And he's gonna be really pedantic about it.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. But yeah, they tell him that was the guest list for the last festival. We don't know what the guest list is this time. And he says, "You're right. I don't blame you. You all just stand here and let old monkey go and do a little detection to find out whether he's invited or not."
Oh no.
And when he says you all just stand there, he casts a spell to freeze them all in place before he flies off.
I do like that he, you know, had the witty line before he cast the spell. It's quite comic book like.
It is actually. He flies off and runs into the great immortal of Naked Feet, there's like a little story explaining that name. He's a figure from outside the novel, and there's a little story about the name. But yeah, his name is Naked Feet.
Is there any... Why? Never mind. Continue. Sorry. I trust you.
I can't remember. I didn't write down what the story with his name was. I can't remember it off the top of my head. Wukong lies to him, and he tells him that the Jade Emperor is doing a rehearsal at the Hall of Perfect Light before the banquet starts, and he's been flying around relaying the news to everyone. Naked Feet thinks this is a bit odd, but he heads off to the Hall of Perfect Light anyway. Once he's gone, Wukong shapeshifts into his form and heads to the real banquet.
When did he pick up shapeshifting?
Remember he turned into a pine tree as well in Chapter 2?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. I keep forgetting. He has so many powers. It just completely...
72,
yes. I can't remember all 72 of them, Guiva.
They're never listed. I would be surprised if he does use 72 unique powers throughout the story, to be honest. He does reuse just kind of general trans shapeshifting a lot and other things.
Maybe I should be keeping a tally.
You're welcome to kind of record everything out. We can have the update the wiki. But he arrives at the banquet hall. It's already mostly laid out, but the guests haven't started to arrive yet. They are serving dragon livers, phoenix marrow, bear paws, and ape lips. According to the footnotes, those are 4 of the 8 dainties of traditional grand cuisine of historical Chinese culture. The others are rabbit embryo, carp tail, grilled asprey, and kumis. I had to look up what kumis is, and it's a drink made of fermented mare's milk.
Huh.
And the rest are just kind of odd.
Yeah, yeah. Just veggie kind of turned my stomach a little bit.
Sorry.
But yeah, no, fermented mare's milk, it's Bailey's really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd definitely try that. Wukong notices the smell of the barrels of wine that are being brought out, and he decides he can't wait for the actual feast to start. But all the officials setting things up are still here. He plucks out some of his hair and magically changes them into sleep-inducing insects, which land in everyone's faces and puts them to sleep. That's a thing he can do.
Sleep-inducing insects.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Amazing. On a spin-off about the sleep-inducing insects and their adventures in robbing banks.
Oh, he could, like, he wouldn't even have to use these to rob a bank. He could just walk in and knock down the wall.
Fair.
He starts picking at all the nicest food and starts drinking wine straight from the barrels. After getting completely pissed, he suddenly thinks, bad, the guests are going to arrive soon and catch me. I need to go now.
He's got some impulse control issues.
Yeah, he really can't resist anything that smells nice, it seems.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Yeah, there's a pattern there. Definitely. I just thought, you know, in general, just,
true.
You know, take some time to step back, think, deep breath. Is this a good idea?
He starts staggering towards the Equal to Heaven residence, but he gets really lost. I do want to emphasize, Equal to Heaven residence is the, like, name of where he lives now in the actual translation. Which is
okay,
great.
Fair.
But yeah, he's really drunk.
Have to imagine someone picking up the phone there.
But yeah, he's really drunk and get completely lost. And he's just like, wait, this is not my house. This is the Toshida Palace. This is Laozi's house, not my house. How did I get here?
I
really always wanted to visit Laozi, though. I should go say hello. And he wanders in. Laozi is a big deal. He is an ancient philosopher, and he's regarded as the founder of Taoism. He's like Socrates, if Socrates was also venerated as a god.
Nice, okay.
But he's not home. He's out giving a lecture, and the house is empty. Wukong kind of searches around randomly and stumbles onto Laozi's alchemy lab. And set out beside the oven are 5 gourds containing finished tablets of golden elixir. Monkey...
Does it, Quiva, before... Does the golden elixir make you immortal by any chance?
One tablet of the golden elixir makes you immortal, and he downs all 5 gourds.
How immortal do you want to be?! This feels like an either-or state. It's enough.
It also makes him sober, and he immediately panics.
Oh. Okay.
Which is a detail I love as well.
Oh fuck. Extra immortal. Oh.
He also just realizes, okay, when the Jade Emperor finds out about this, they're literally going to kill me. So he just leaves. He just goes straight back to the Flower Fruit Mountain.
So he's just leaving heaven now. He's
Yeah,
not.
he just realizes how fucked he is and just legs it.
Oh, fuck.
It's been over a century since he left, but the four monkey commanders are still around and are running the place for him. He insists he's only been gone for half a year before he's reminded that one day in heaven is a year on earth, which he has forgotten.
Ah.
Wukong tells them about what he's been up to in heaven and why he left, and they throw him a big feast to welcome him back. But the great sage has grown accustomed to heavenly food, and he finds the monkey's coconut wine too disgusting to drink now.
Fair.
He decides he wants the other monkeys to taste the heavenly wine as well, so he goes back to the peach banquet to steal some. Luckily, everyone there is still asleep, and he actually managed to nab four bottles and get back without issue.
Wait.
Back in the peach garden, the seven maidens that he froze in place are stuck there for an entire day until the spell wears off.
Oh shit. No, I thought you were gonna say stuck there forever. Like, oh yeah, he totally forgot these. Oh crap.
No, they do. It does eventually break. And they run back to the Queen Mother to report what happened. And she goes straight to the Jade Emperor. And as she's explaining what happened with Wukong, before she's even finished, all the officials who were setting up the banquet show up to report that all the food and wine has been stolen. And as they're explaining that, Laozi shows up to report that the golden elixir that he was specifically preparing for the Emperor's own use has been stolen.
Yeah.
The Jade Emperor is quite stunned. And presently, officials from the Equal to Heaven residents show up to report that their boss has been missing for an entire day and they have no idea where he is. And finally, Naked Feet arrives and tells him about Wukong lying to him about the banquet rehearsal.
So there's a pretty open and shut case on this one now. So are they going to go after him, or are they going to say, okay, asshole tax?
Yeah, so the Jade Emperor orders the Divine Minister of Detection to find the Monkey King. And, he finds that he's back on the Flower Fruit Mountain. So after that, the Jade Emperor sends the four great Devarajas, Devaraja Li, Prince Nata, the 28 Constellations, the Nine Luminaries, the 12 Orrery Branches, the Fearless Guards of the Five Quarters, the four Temporal Guardians, the Stars of the East and West, the Gods of North and South, the deities of the five mountains and the four rivers, the star spirits of the entire heaven, and 100,000 celestial soldiers, all to surround the Flower Fruit Mountain and capture Sun Wukong.
Okay. I would have just let him go, to be
No, they're taking
honest.
it seriously now.
Okay, fair. It's quite the slight,
Yeah.
I think. But it's just like he's been nothing but trouble since he got there. He's run away, he's too embarrassed to come back. Just it's a couple of bottles of wine. Just leave him go.
No, they send a huge army to get him, and they draw a cordon so tight around the mountain that not even water could have possibly escaped. And they set up 18 sets of cosmic nets above and below the mountain.
Cosmic nets.
Yeah, there's no real elaboration on what that means, but it sounds cool.
Sounds really cool. Just picturing them made of starlight, but somehow still razors.
The nine luminaries step forward to the monkey soldiers outside the cave and demand that Wukong surrenders immediately, or they will execute everyone there. So, a group of monkeys run inside to tell Wukong that there's nine angry gods outside who want to capture him. And he just brushes it off nonchalantly and quotes a proverb. And then another group of monkeys burst in and tell him that the nine gods are actually starting a fight, and Wukong laughs them off.
I just there's kind of a pattern of avoidance here. It's just kind of like I'm not going to face the consequences of my actions. If it's trouble that I'm looking for, I will face it. But if it's trouble that's come to find me, it's not a big deal. It's fine.
Yeah, Immediately after that, another group of monkeys run in to report that the nine Numenarees have already broken down the door and are currently fighting their way inside.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. At this point, he's got to do something, but I'm guessing he doesn't.
Yeah, Wukong says that they're very rude, and he orders the one-horned Demon King to lead a charge against them while he brings up the rear. The forward force is ambushed by the nine Luminaries at the Sheet Iron Bridge, and a big melee starts until Wukong arrives and drives the nine back himself.
Uh-huh.
They regroup with their army again and shout out to Wukong, calling him a Banhorse Plague and listing out his crimes. Wukong basically responds with, "Yep, what are you going to do about it?"
You and whose army? Oh, wait, that army.
Yeah,
oh.
the 10,000, God soldiers outside.
Yeah.
They tell him if he doesn't surrender, they will level the entire mountain. Wukong just takes this as a provocation and attacks them and manages to rout the nine of them himself again.
Shit.
They return to Li Jing to report their defeat, who orders the four great Devarajas and 28 constellations to go into battle, and the Monkey King sends the one-horned Demon King to fight against them. There's a huge battle that lasts until dark that results in all the forces of Wukong's six Monster King allies being captured while he and the monkeys retreat back to the Water Curtain Cave.
Shit.
The four great Devarajas, Li and Nata, all go after Wukong together, but he summons an army of thousands of Monkey King clones to fight them back.
Okay.
Wukong returns to the cave to meet his troops and the four monkey commanders. They're upset that all their allies have been captured, but Monkey brushes it off, saying, you know, that's what happens in war, and all the monkeys are safe, so it's fine. Bit nasty, to be honest. Wukong tells everyone to have a good meal and get some rest, because they're going to start battle again in the morning. The forces of Heaven, meanwhile, go about sorting out their captives, securing their defenses. The soldiers in charge of the cosmic nets are given alarm bells and assigned passwords, and every soldier is told to keep a diligent watch. So both sides prepare for the next battle in their own way, but we won't get a conclusion for that until chapter 6.
Okay.
I don't have any footnotes this time.
Oh, no measurements, no conversions?
I mean, I was slightly tempted to try and figure out how many tablets of elixir were in each gourd, but I don't think they give a size for them. I might be wrong. I'm going to guess it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wukong is, he's extremely immortal now.
The most immortal, the immortalest immortal to ever immort.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that other than he's fucking immortal. Let's just recap. He has a natural lifespan of hundreds of years in the first place. Even before he met Sabaody, he was a couple hundred years old. He attained enlightenment in the series Secrets of Immortality from Sabaody. Then he crossed his name off of the Book of the Dead. Then he ate hundreds of peaches, each of which would make you immortal on their own, and then downed God knows how many doses of super powerful elixir made by, like, the greatest philosopher who ever lived.
So he's can you overdose on immortality?
I mean, yeah, I think if you could, he would have by now.
So immortal, it kills you?
He seems fine.
Yeah, well, does he?
Physically, he seems fine.
He seems physically healthy. I don't think that monkey is fine. Yeah, yeah, there's definitely some avoidance going on, definitely. Like, that God is at your door and he's pissed. Or gods, plural, are at your door and they're pissed. Fine, we don't need to talk about the army! It's fine! It's just a thing. You haven't been to heaven. You wouldn't understand. This happens, like, all the time in heaven. And it's, oh, they're literally killing. Oh, okay, yeah, no, actually, it is kind of a problem. But it's not as big as of a problem as you might think it is, okay? We'll just throw it out, it's fine. Yeah, I don't think the monkey's okay.
It's not an arrest, it's an intervention.
It's both. It's a please just stop. It's a just, yeah. Just, why did you have to eat peaches? Okay, well, thank you for that. That was enlightening. Again, I feel like he could have eaten a wisdom peach. I think he could have used one of those. I feel like there's a lot in there about admitting that you don't know things and taking steps back and assessing situations and not. I feel like maybe the enlightenment peaches.
I'm not sure there's enough peaches for that.